know people that when the day died down, when they got a divorce, and we were sitting there scratching our head and we were going, they had such a great marriage. They helped at church. They did all this stuff. How in the world could they possibly get to that point? They got to that point because they fell into some of these things. If displeased with a spouse, you need to talk to your spouse. You need to talk about it. And not in a way which is disrespectful. Ladies, if you want a good definition of submitting, respectful, being respectful even in moments when it's heated, and handling situations where you still respect your husband. That's a good illustration of that. In Proverbs 6, I told you we're all over the map today. In Proverbs 6, verse 24, it says, keeping you from the immoral woman, from the smooth tongue and the wayward wife, do not lust in your heart after her beauty, or let her captivate you with her eyes. Ladies, something happened to you when you turned about 13 years old, when you realized that when you put on more makeup, wear less clothes, you get more attention. You have that power. We do not have that power. I don't know, you might get more attention. That'd be a fun video to shoot. We should like really try that out. Would you sign your husband up for it? That's the question. Awesome. this passage of scripture brings this thing that is so super huge, you know, for us to know. Don't worry about the lights, they just kind of come and go. But, you know, this passage of scripture is one of those things that, I've heard people say, you know, that because they go to our church, that they get to, you know, show a little more skin. Not true. That they get to wear tighter clothes. Not true. Ladies, this passage of scripture is speaking specifically to you. Keeping you from the immoral woman, from the smooth tongue of the wayward wife, do not lust in your heart after her beauty or let her captivate you with her eyes. In other words, guys, we got to watch it. It goes on in another passage here, the next chapter, chapter 7, in verse 10 and 11. It says, then out came a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute and with crafty intent. She is loud and defiant. Her feet never stay at home. Dressed like a prostitute with crafty intent. Ladies, some of you, when you got up this morning, you were specifically thinking, what am I going to wear today? Some of you had no, you know, intent on this. But some of you, if you were real honest this morning, you would say, I dressed a certain way today so I could be flirtatious with another man at church. It's not good. It's not good. And a lot of women will do this and will do this purposefully to try to make their husbands jealous, to try to create some kind of attention getter type thing going on. Let me just tell you what, it's just straight up sin. Your marriage is not going to be glorified in that. It's not going to be built up in that. You are continuing to tear down your home. It's manipulation. You see, the liberation idea, that we would have liberation from the things that God would call us to, is just like the most insane thing in the world. Because at the bottom of the bucket, when we are following God and when we are true to Him, is when we are going to be the most liberated. Because our culture has deemed, you know, someone that wants to try to follow God in many different ways. This goes for men, this goes for women. It just looks different for each one. You say, well, Chris, I feel like I'm less of a person because I'm a woman and I'm supposed to be his helper? What is that? How can I be as good as him if I'm supposed to be his helper? Let me ask you a question. If you've read through Scripture very much, you will see that all, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, have all been referred to as helpers at times. It is not a demeaning thing to be a helper. It's a demeaning thing when we allow the world to talk us into believing that. Because when we fall into who God is calling us to be, then he gets ultimate glory. Then our families are built up strong. You say, well, Chris, how, I'm following you, but struggle with this. Let me just explain something to you. And this is not a message about every woman should stay at home and you've got to look like this and do these. That's not what this is about. This is about who God is calling you to be in your family. But I will say this, that if God is ever calling you and leading you to try to allow your wife to stay home, men, work for that. We have people that come to us and say to us, when they hear, they ask Aaron, what do you do? And we say, well, she gets to stay at home with Gracie, and it's a real blessing. She's my helper. And man, she is. She is my ministry helper. 24 Church would not be 24 Church if it were not for my wife. I would not be half the man that I am. My youth ministry years wouldn't have been half of what they were if it had not been for my wife. But when we tell people that she stays at home and that she is my helper and that she works from home, they say, oh, it's so good that you get to do that. Let me tell you something. People have no idea how hard we have to work for that to happen. And I think that so many of us, we've just so bought into this culture, and we've bought into having 15 cars in the driveway and big houses and all this stuff that we think that we just got to make more money. I don't know the exact numbers or the statistics, and I don't, you may be a big Dave Ramsey fan or you may not, but he basically says that it's somewhere around the $80,000 mark or the $100,000 mark that you would have to make for it to be worth her going to work and having kids in daycare at the same time. That may not be true for every situation. And truth is there's a bunch of situations in the room today where you may be a single mom in here, and you're like, how in the world do I fit into this? And it's all a matter of your situation and what God has dealt you or what you've dealt yourself maybe at times. And just going from there and trying to figure out how to give God the most glory as possible in that particular situation. But I want us to be real clear. I want our church to be a place where families that work their tails off to try to keep that wife at home, to help take care of the kids, to help save money from home. I mean, there's statistics like crazy on like when a wife, a godly wife, like really stays at home and purposely tries to budget and help her family save money. How that helps a family in such a way she couldn't made that much money if out in the workplace. We don't think a lot about that. We want liberation, don't we? All right, we've talked about the decay. Let's talk about the crown. This is good stuff. And if you're taking notes today, we've talked about a lot of this other stuff. I just encourage you to hit this, look through the book of Proverbs. We just talked about a bunch of that stuff. The cool thing about the book of Proverbs, it's got 31 chapters. In about a month, if you read a chapter a day, you're hitting that. I know people that read Proverbs every month. They read the whole book every month, and they just go through it and go through it. And I'll just say, a couple weeks ago, I even mentioned this, that the book of Proverbs drives young men to grow up and be strong men, grow up to be godly men. So this is not just for ladies, it's for men and women alike. Being a crown. Well, right off the bat, last several weeks we've been talking about what it means to be a submissive wife. So right off the bat, if you're looking for godly traits of being a godly woman, being a submissive wife is one of those traits. If you're jotting this down, that would be number one. Submissive wife. Again, say, well, you know, I don't like the sound of that. I know. I honestly don't either. It's Scripture. The great thing is that it's not a demeaning thing. Never was meant to be. God never intended it that way. Man has taken it and made it that way many times over. Because, you know, to be a submissive wife doesn't mean that you're obedient all the time. It means that you're respectful all the time. So being a submissive wife, we talked about that last couple weeks. I'm not going to talk about it anymore. Second thing, queen of the home. Queen of the home. Does this mean you can't work? No, it's not what I'm saying. Queen of the home. It means that you have a special calling, something that I can't even explain. And we all know this. We all see this so many times at how great our wives are at it, taking care of our kids, of helping take care of our home. And I'm not talking about just like cooking and cleaning type stuff. I'm talking about things that go even far beyond that. You know, if you wanna look at a passage of Scripture that'll absolutely just turn you upside down, let's go to Proverbs 31. Enter this whole chapter here, Jason, starting with verse 13. Proverbs 31. And in verse 13, it says, she selects, this is a huge chapter when it comes to study on women, ladies. If you want to study a chapter, if you want to study a passage of Scripture on ladies, this is where you should start. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family. She portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. She's a stinking realtor. Buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. Hello. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hands, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. She is a minister. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. In other words, she tries to dress well. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. Let me ask you a question. How does he do that? He's able to do that because he has a helper. Guys, we need them, okay? We need them. Ladies, we need you. We need your help. Our life would be just without you, all right? Verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She's a busy woman. She is taking care of her family. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. In other words, publicly, guys, we should be praising our wives. Out there at the city gate, out there at the place you work, our wives should be seen through us as godly women that are just unbelievable at helping us and helping to take care of our home. Queen of the home. Queen of the home. The third thing, a companion to him, a lover, if you will, who shares passion and pleasure with him. Genesis 2, verse 25, says, the man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. All through Scripture, we're going to be talking about this later in this series a little more, but all through Scripture, we see a godly picture of what it means for a man and his wife to enjoy one another. And how sacred of a thing that is, and how it is meant after marriage. So important, so important. And for so many in here, you know, the truth is we struggle with this. Whether it's from the man's side or the woman's side, there is struggle and there is resistance at times because, you know, we're both just not in the mood all the time. You know, we're too tired. If we waited till we were in the mood, it happened just every once in a blue moon. You see, this is an opportunity for us, both men and women, to take care of our relationships with one another. Let me just kind of throw this out to you. Ladies, if you don't want to have sex with your husband, if you don't want to pleasure him, you can expect him to look for it elsewhere. Men, same thing. I'm not saying that they should. That's not what I'm saying. In fact, it's a sin. Don't. But they're looking for it. It is a need that they have given by God. Part of being married is this pleasure. And so, why do we struggle with it so much? I'll tell you why. Part of the reason that we struggle with it so much is because that the church has taught forever that sex is this terrible, hideous, heinous, ugly, vile thing that you should only enjoy after you get married. Makes it kind of tough, doesn't it? It's not a terrible thing. It's something that God created, and He created for us to enjoy. I could spend a long time on that. We'll talk about it later in the series. Fourth thing, a mother and a nurturer. A mother and a nurturer. I don't even know that I really have to say a whole lot about that. Ladies, you have an instinct that we don't have. I mean, you just do. And it's amazing when we get to see it just working. When we get to see you doing your mothering thing, your nurturing thing. And our kids need it, but honestly, we need it. We need it. First Peter chapter 3. Gives us the fifth thing here. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4 say this: Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Number 5 is to have a gentle and quiet spirit. You know, a woman has a power over a man with this. I don't know that most women recognize this because this is what our culture has done. Our culture said a long time ago, if you're a woman, stand up and be strong. Be heard. You need to be heard. No one's listening to you. And so what happened? When a time came for a quarrel in the home, ladies started the shouting matches. We talked about this earlier. It's the nagging. It's the on and on. It's the loud. It's the obnoxious. It's what men love to death. They can't get enough of it, right? No. To be a godly woman means that you strive for gentleness and quietness, to have a gentle spirit, to be quiet. Now, it doesn't mean that you're not heard. It means that you do so in a gentle and quiet way. And here's how you have power on us on this one. Guys, you ever been in an argument with your wife, and you get into it with her, and you're like, well, listen, I'm telling you, this is the way it is. And they just look at you and go, okay. Who won that? You see, the cool thing is a godly woman would say that neither won, that they won. We make it too much about us versus them and all of this stuff. That's not in Scripture. Oh, it is. But we've been reading about it, and it looks like decay. And for a lot of men right now, even Christian men, they've got the decay. The decay is sitting next to them sometimes, wearing a ring, and it's like a disease. I've seen friends of mine, even ministers at times, that have that decay to the point that it absolutely ruins their ministry. It ruins their outlook from everyone else, just like it did Adam and Eve in the beginning. Because again, what happened? When God came looking for them, who did he say, "Hey, hello, are you there?" He knew who did it. He knew that Eve, you know, initiated this whole thing, but who'd he go to see? He went to see Adam. Why? Because at the end of the day, guys, it's on us. But it is partly our job to build them up, to take care of them as Christ did the church. That brings me to my last thing. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33. We see this passage of Scripture. "However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband." Let's leave that up there. Guys, we are to love our wives. Ladies, do you need love? You need love? I mean, just nod your head if you do. I mean, just out of curiosity. Need love? Guys, you need love? You looking for a lot of love? Not necessarily. That's not what's on the forefront of our mind. Respect. We're looking for respect. Guys, we're called to love them. Ladies, you're called to respect us. Not a demeaning thing. You see, the beautiful thing is not only is it not a demeaning thing, it's ways that we each of opposite sexes have ways to bring glory to God in our homes in different ways. I can't bring glory to God by trying to be my wife. Thank God. She can't bring glory to God by trying to be me. We've each been given some instruction for us to bring glory to God if we will fulfill who he's called us to be. If we will live this out, an amazing thing begins to happen. We start to have a godly home. We start to bring glory to God. Gary Chapman wrote a book called The Five Love Languages. It's just one of those things I would recommend maybe going and picking up. I think you can even get it on CD if you're that ADD. But it talks about love in five different ways. And I'm just going to tell you real quick what they are, because I think for so many of us, we're showing love to each other sometimes, but we don't realize that the other one is showing us love because maybe they're not showing it exactly how we need it, because we all individually need love in different ways. And these are the five ways. Spending time. Some of us are big on that. If your wife were to come and just spend time with you, it'd be like the biggest thing in the world. Maybe it's words. Maybe it's you being lifted up by them. Them showing you that respect verbally. Maybe it's touch. Any men in here touch? Just curious. Bunch of liars. I'm a touch guy. I'm a touch guy. I'll just come out and say it. I want to be rubbed on. I play dead to get a back rub from my wife. Gifts. Let me ask you a question. Does your husband keep buying you gifts? Like, does he buy you a lot of gifts? Because if he buys you a lot of gifts, a lot of times what happens is that we show love in the way that we would like to have love. So if he's buying you a lot of gifts, he's probably wanting a lot of gifts. I'm just saying. You know, there's probably some truth to that. You should pay attention to that. That's why it's good to read this book and maybe have these conversations together. You know, maybe he would really like it if you bought him a bass boat. And lastly, service. That you would go out of your way to do things for him or her. That you would be willing to go the extra mile to do something just because you love him. Say, Chris, a lot of stuff here. And it is a lot of stuff. And at the bottom of it, as far as being a godly woman, is this. And it's in, I'm not reading the passage, but it's in Proverbs 19. I'm ending with this. To be a prudent wife. You can check that out on your own. Proverbs 19, to be a prudent wife. What's that mean? It means to be a woman that desires godly wisdom. What's that look like? It looks like this. It looks like a woman that is willing to take up Scripture. And instead of just going, well, you know, this is working pretty good for me right now, or I was taught this by my mom, or in church a long time ago, I was told okay, that it was okay to do this, instead of doing all that, that you take up Scripture and you begin to read about what it means to be a godly woman. That's a prudent wife. I'm praying for the ladies of our church that they would long to be prudent women of God. And I just encourage you, don't see this stuff as demeaning. That's the world's teaching, not God's. See it as fulfilling. This is liberation. Let me pray for us. God, I thank you, Lord, for all the things that you have to say to us. God, there's so many more things, God, that I know that are even just on my heart right in this very minute. And God, I just pray for opportunity and days to come to teach more about these things, and that God, that these ladies of our church would desire so to be godly women, that they would be running for you, that they'd be running for Scripture, that they would be studying Esther, and that they would be studying Ruth, that they would be studying Timothy and Titus. God, that they would long to be who you've called them to be. God, I just pray that for them. God, I just pray, Lord, that they would long to be yours. God, we love you and we thank you for the opportunity that we have to come. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to just be able to pray together in this moment. God, I just want to lift up the families that are here today. God, I want to lift up the spouses that are here today. God, I want to lift up the single ladies and men that are here today. God, I pray, Lord, that you would use them to do special things for your kingdom. God, we have all been designed in ways, God, that we will bring you glory. And God, I pray, Lord, that we would be so willing to tap into that, that God, everyone that is in our lives would see that in us. God, that they would see that it's for you. God, that they would see that it's the best for our family, whatever it may be. God, we love you. God, and I pray that that would come out in everything that we do, in everything that we sing, in who we are, from day to day, at work, at home.